This is the Scripture-Driven Church Broadcast, brought to you by Teaching the Word Ministries. The Church of Jesus Christ must be the Scripture-Driven Church, relying on God's inspired and inerrant Word as our sole authority and our infallible critic in every area of life and ministry. And now, here's author, Bible teacher, and Teaching the Word president, Dr. Paul Elliott, to introduce today's program.
Christian friend, is your thinking and living earthbound or heavenbound? That was Paul's challenge to the believers at Colossae, as he exhorted them to set their minds on things above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. What are those things above, and why must they be the focus of our attention? Stay tuned for the answers as we continue our study titled, Christ Preeminent in You. Father in heaven, as we open your word today, I pray that you would open each listening mind so that your truth may accomplish your intended work by the power of your Spirit. I thank you for your promise that your word will do this, and I thank you for your mighty power to keep that promise. Sanctify us by your truth, Father. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Today I want to call your attention once again to the great exhortation given to us by the Holy Spirit through the Apostle Paul in Colossians chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. As always, I trust that if you are able to do so as you are listening, that you will turn to this passage in your own copy of God's Word, and focus your attention upon the words with me. Colossians chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. The passage we have just read speaks to us about one of the great problems of the Colossian church. The Colossian believers were in danger of becoming earthbound rather than heavenbound in their thinking. They were in danger of focusing upon the things of earth rather than the things of heaven. They were in danger of being caught up in the philosophies of the pagan world around them. They were in danger of being bound up in the dead legalism of the Old Covenant. They were in danger of being cheated of their reward in Christ by making themselves subject to man-made spiritual authorities and man-made doctrines. And so the Apostle Paul writes to them to provide them with the only sure protection against such evils. He writes to provide them with the only sure remedy for earthbound thinking and living. He focuses their attention upon the preeminence of the Lord Jesus Christ. He focuses their attention not on things on earth, but on things above. Paul begins his letter by reminding them that their salvation through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and their love for their fellow believers in Christ are, verse 5, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. You see, the gospel is a heavenly gospel. The gospel has its origins in heaven, not in earth. The author and finisher of the gospel, Jesus Christ, is of heaven and not of earth. He condescended to come to earth and die our death for sin, in order to deliver us from this earth. In the same way, Paul reminds the Galatian church, chapter 1, verse 4, that Christ gave himself for our sins. Why? That he might deliver us from this present evil age. God is not in the business of making this earth a better place. God is in the business of saving a people for the new earth to come. This earth is under God's curse because of sin. This earth is doomed to destruction because of sin. Paul reminds the Colossian believers, chapter 1, verse 12, that God the Father has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light, in the new heavens and new earth, in which righteousness will dwell, in which there will be no night. Paul reminds the Colossian believers that God has delivered us from the power of darkness, the power of this present earth, the power of sin and of Satan, and has conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, Jesus Christ. Dear friends, in our day, vast segments of the church have lost sight of these things. Vast segments of the church have become earthbound rather than heavenbound in the way the church thinks and the way the church operates. Practically speaking, much of the church is perverting the opening verses of Colossians chapter 3. Practically speaking, much of what is being taught and much of what is being done in the church today says, set your mind on things on the earth, not on things which are above. Seek those things which are on earth where you are, rather than those things which are in heaven where Christ is seated. This is the great problem of many Christians and of many churches today. Many Christians and much of the church are driven, are motivated, not by the things of heaven, but by the things of earth. The value system of many Christians and the value system of many churches is earthbound rather than heavenbound. And so the witness of many who call themselves Christians and the witness of many churches that call themselves evangelical is focused on the things of this world and not on the world to come. To listen to many Christians and to listen to the preaching of many churches, one would think that this world is all there is. One would think that this life is all there is. One would think that this world is permanent. One would think that the treasures of this earth are the real treasures and the only treasures. One would think that salvation was all about self-esteem and success in this present life. One would think, listening to many who call themselves Christians and listening to many preachers who call themselves evangelical, that the message of the gospel is merely about a change of earthly circumstances. One would think, quite often, that the gospel has little or nothing to do with heaven at all. This is the thinking of the church that has surrendered to the world and not to Christ. This is the thinking of the church that has set its mind on the things of earth, as though these things are lasting, as though these things are permanent, as though the inventions of man can be brought into the church and into the life and thinking of the Christian, and this will be enough. Dear friends, the church desperately needs the biblical cure for this kind of earthbound thinking and this kind of earthbound living and this kind of earthbound preaching and this kind of earthbound witness. We need the cure for these things that we find in Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Now, as we look at this great statement, as we look at this great imperative, we must ask questions. We must understand exactly what Paul, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, means by these words, so that we may know what God requires of us and do what God requires of us. First of all, what does it mean to be raised with Christ? Of course, the Apostle Paul is reminding us of what he has already said in chapter 2, when he gave his great defense of the preeminence of Christ against the evil of worldly philosophy. Note once again, Colossians chapter 2, verse 12, you also were raised with Him, raised with Christ, through faith in the working of God, who raised Him, Jesus, from the dead. Christ was raised from the dead. He is the firstfruits of our coming resurrection. In the mind and plan of God, this is already an accomplished fact. We were raised with Christ. The language in the Greek indicates a fulfilled condition, an action that has been done once and will never be repeated. And what does this mean for the Christian? What does it mean that you and I have been raised with Christ? Paul gives the answer not only here, but also in Romans chapter 6, verse 4, where he says, "Just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." Being raised with Christ should mean an entirely new way of thinking and living for the believer in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." And how is it that all things have become new? Jesus gave the answer when he spoke to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, verse 3. "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Born again. The word in the original language means literally born from above. The new birth is from above. It is not from this earth. It has no origin here. The new birth originates in heaven, and it culminates in heaven. Unless one is born from above, he cannot see, he cannot know, he cannot experience the kingdom of God. Dear friend, unless you were born from above, by faith in the finished work of Christ, you will never see or know or experience the kingdom of God. It is impossible. But once you have been born from above, you can see the kingdom of God. You can know it. You can experience it. The kingdom of God here and now in a foretaste, and the kingdom of God in the life to come in all of its fullness. And because you have been born from above, because you are now a member and a citizen of the kingdom of God, because your citizenship is now in heaven and not on earth, seek those things which are above, where Christ is. Some teachers try to make a distinction between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven, but the fact is that Jesus himself used the terms interchangeably. Do not fall into the trap of those who would try to tell you that there are two kingdoms, one for Israel and one for the church, or who would try to make some other unbiblical division. All who are born from above are citizens of the kingdom of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. The things above, of which Paul speaks in this passage, belong to every believer of all time. What are those things? Paul tells us in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, they are the things that are where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. In fact, they are the things that are in Christ. They are the things that are integral to the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And that is why we are to seek him. We are to seek him in his divinity. We are to avail ourselves of his divinity. All the wondrous attributes of the Lord Jesus Christ are seated at the right hand of God in the person of Christ. His eternality is seated there. The one we are to seek is the one who had no beginning, who will have no ending, the one who is our high priest forever before the heavenly altar. His holiness is seated there. The one we are to seek is the holy God, the one who says, "Be holy, for I am holy." We are to seek that holiness. We are to seek to be more and more conformed to the image of Christ. We are to seek to be not conformed to this world, Romans chapter 12, verse 1, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, literally the renovation of our minds, the conformity of our minds to the mind of Christ, in order that we may prove that our thinking may be in conformity to the will of God. Not only is Christ's eternality seated at the throne of God, not only is his holiness seated at the throne of God, his immutability is also seated at the throne of God in his person. The Christ we are to seek at the throne of God is unchanging and unchangeable. He is Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13:8. He is not moved or affected by the events of this world. On the contrary, he is the Lord of all events. He is in charge of them. Who better can we seek than the immutable Christ, the one who has never changed and will never change? Furthermore, the omnipotence of Christ is seated in the heavenlies in his person. He possesses all power. He possesses all authority in heaven and in earth. Paul tells us in Colossians chapter 1 that the Lord Jesus, who is seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high, sustains the entire universe by his power. Who can we seek on earth who can exercise such power on our behalf? Furthermore, the omniscience of Christ is seated in the heavenlies in his person. We are to seek the one who is not only all-powerful, but also all-knowing. Where on this sin-cursed earth, where in the things of this earth, the philosophies of this age, can we find such knowledge? And further yet, the infinite wisdom is seated in the heavenlies in the person of Christ. The one we are to seek not only possesses all power, he not only possesses all knowledge, he also possesses all wisdom to employ that power and that knowledge for his glory and thus for our eternal good. Go to the ends of the earth. Collect all the knowledge man possesses. Collect all the power man possesses. Collect all the wisdom man possesses. And it does not begin to compare with the knowledge, the power, and the wisdom that we find in heaven in the person of Christ. And furthermore, as we seek the Christ who is above, seated at the throne of God, we find infinite love. We find infinite grace. We find the grace that saves to the uttermost, the deepest of sinners. We find the love that compelled our Lord to come into this world, to take on the form of a servant, and to die the death of the cross in our place. And further yet, the Christ above whom we are to seek is the head of the church. Colossians chapter 1 verse 18 declares to us that Jesus Christ seated in the heavenlies is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. This world is passing away, but Christ's church is eternal. And so Ephesians chapter 5 tells us he is now at work sanctifying us by the cleansing power of his word, that he might present us to himself on that great day when this world passes away and the new heavens and the new earth commence, that he might present us to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but holy and without blemish for eternity. Dear friends, where on earth can we find this? It is impossible. Therefore, we must seek those things which are above, where Christ is. We must seek and lay hold upon the very attributes of our Lord, which are our only resource for life in our short time in this world and for our life in eternity to come. Seek those things which are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Seek the heavenly altar on which we find his blood offered once for all as the full and final atonement for our sins. Seek the throne of grace. Seek the one who intercedes at that throne. The writer to the Hebrews declares this, chapter 4, verses 14 to 16, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Where on earth, where in the things of earth, can we find such a great high priest? Where on earth, where in the things of earth, can we find grace to help in time of need? It is impossible to find those things on this earth. Seek them all you want. Seek them as long as you want. Seek them wherever and in whatever you want. But you will not find them. You will come to the end of that quest empty-handed. You will only find these things as you seek those things which are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. You will only find those things as you set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. And let me remind you, last but certainly not least, that heaven is where we find the place that is being prepared for us. Jesus told the disciples in John chapter 14, "I go to prepare a place for you. I will come again and receive you to myself. And on that great last day, Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 25, verse 34, he will say to those on his right hand, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world, and we shall rule and reign with him forever." The writer to the Hebrews tells us that those in the great roll call of faith of chapter 11 demonstrated the fact that they desired a better country, better than any that can be found on this earth. They desired, he says, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed, he says, to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Is that what you are seeking, dear friend? Are you seeking the things that will prepare you for that life to come? The true church of Jesus Christ, the truly blood-bought, spirit-indwelled believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, must utterly reject the things of earth. We must despise the things of earth. We must flee to the preeminent Christ. We must flee to the heavenly altar. We must flee to the heavenly throne of grace. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And then note well the great promise. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory.
Here once again is Dr. Paul Elliott with some closing comments.
Friends, as we close the program today, I would like to ask you to pray with us for the broadcast of this program in the city of Monrovia, Liberia, in West Africa. The Scripture-Driven Church broadcast airs several times each week on the Master's Radio, 90.7 FM, in Monrovia. The station reaches a potential audience of over 2 million people, and we've received numerous comments and even phone calls from listeners in Liberia thanking us for the broadcast and requesting Bible teaching resources. We're grateful for the opportunity to point listeners to the Bible-believing church in Monrovia that sponsors the station. Please pray with us for the Lord's blessing on this part of our worldwide outreach. I also want to remind you once again about our current free book offer. The title of the book we're offering is Setting Our Affections Upon Glory by Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones. The 9 chapters of this book will challenge you to carefully examine the focus of your life in the light of Scripture. And as Paul exhorts us in Colossians chapter 3, to focus your mind and your attachments on things above, where Christ is, and not on the things of this earth. We're offering this book at no cost or obligation, free and postage paid, to anyone who requests it anywhere in the world while supplies last. Here's how to receive your free copy of the book, Setting Our Affections Upon Glory. Listeners in North America can call us toll-free anytime, 24 hours a day, at 888-804-9655. Once again, our toll-free number for listeners in North America is 888-804-9655. You can also request your free copy of the book online at our website, teachingtheword.org. Just click the contact link on our homepage and let us know that you would like to receive the free book, Setting Our Affections Upon Glory. Once again, to request your free copy of this book online, go to our website, teachingtheword.org, and click the contact link on our homepage. Or you can write to us at Teaching the Word Ministries, Box 2533, Westminster, Maryland, 21158, USA. Once again, our mailing address is Teaching the Word Ministries, Box 2533, Westminster, Maryland, 21158, USA. On our next broadcast, we'll continue our study of the opening verses of Colossians chapter 3 with a message titled, The Problem of the Earthbound Church. Until then, may God richly bless your personal study of His inspired, infallible, and inerrant Word.
This weekly program, The Scripture-Driven Church, is brought to you by the faithful friends and supporters of Teaching the Word Ministries.